time now for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Just a cursory view of our culture is all it takes to show that we really are in a sea of chaos. Now, the only answer can be found in the solid, strong word of truth, the Word of God. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, our pastor here at United Reformed Church in Linden. Let's head now to the Word of God that we might find comfort and strength and solace in time of need. Once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us here today at Abounding Grace. We're again taking up our study in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And you know this wonderful perspective that the Apostle Paul has presented to us here about the Christian life, about a life of joy, and about a life of peace. And really, it comes from an understanding again of our position in Jesus Christ. And so I'm to let this position drive me even in my prayer to Him in light of my circumstances. We've been looking this week at what we call an attack of the circumstances, where things outside of us attack the heart and they attack the mind so that it controls us, that we don't even sleep at times, that it totally overwhelms us so that our prayers are cold and heartless. Well, the Apostle Paul yesterday, as we looked at, gave us an outline to this. By everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There's a whole focus there on prayer. That first word focuses on adoration. It focuses on an adoring of the Lord in prayer. The second upon bringing specific requests upon Him, all which should drive us to thankfulness for the deliverance that I have already received in Jesus Christ, and for the exceeding precious promise that He holds out for me constantly in the gospel, each and every day in His word as a struggling sinner. He's given me a mercy seat wherein all my sins have been abolished through the blood of His dear Son. And so what Paul is saying to us is that even in our distresses, as we cry out to the Lord, we must be filled with the thoughts of His love and mercy already shown to us in the gospel. We must contrast our anxieties with His promises, with His love, with the bigger picture of our salvation, and the fact that even though I don't understand why this thing is happening, everything is working out for the good to those who love Him. It is then that our prayer will take shape. You see, God wants us to make known our struggles. Notice He commands prayer. It's no option. Make known your petitions to Him, not because He needs to know them. Yes, He does know what we need before we ask. He wants them made known so that we may all the more put our trust in Christ. It is for His glory as we venerate and worship Him more through thanking Him in prayer. And as He sustains us, I have to say, that is why it's the height of arrogance and self-righteousness when I hear people say, "Well, God is sovereign, we don't need to pray." A man who says that is trusting in his own righteousness and not Christ's. You may boast of being saved by salvation by grace alone, but your life sadly shows no dependency upon Him. Thus, such a claim is quite hypocritical. It is the mark of our dependency upon Christ to save us, as it is expressed through prayer. God desires this. For what end? Let me ask, that He would answer our prayers? Not necessarily. For the end that we would worship Him, thank Him, submit to His will, bend our wills to His, and glorify Him as the sovereign over our hearts and our lives, so that even our thoughts would be brought into captivity to obedience to Him. Do you see the answer to all this? What is the answer to all this that we've looked at this week? We'll look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You know what's so striking about this? What would you expect? Well, what would we expect? Do not be anxious, but by prayer, make known your requests to God, and God will answer them. That's what we would expect. He doesn't say that, does He? He doesn't say your prayer is going to, quote, change things. Absolutely not. You see, we like to think that things will be okay when our circumstances change, when this trial is over, when this suffering or this trial of me or my loved one is over, and then I will be calm again. Then I'll be able to get back on track. Then I'll be able to worship the Lord with a clear mind, or whatever. And so we live trying to beat and overcome our circumstances. And we sort of come to God thinking that if we pray, we're going to feel better. We come to prayer sort of expecting God to change our circumstances. God doesn't promise this. God doesn't promise to change our circumstances. It is often God's very design specifically for you to go through it and to find peace and joy in the trial, not by running around it. Then it is evident to all whom you're really trusting in. Again, you remember Paul's thorn in the flesh. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away. The health and wealth people would have said, well, you're not trusting hard enough, Paul, because it didn't go away. No. What did God say to Paul? My grace is sufficient for you. That response became his peace. I've always been amazed at the implications of Psalm 23, a very popular psalm with most of us. You prepare a table before me where? In the presence of my enemies. That's a striking statement. Surely God could have removed the enemies, but instead he gave a table in the presence of the enemies, that the psalmist, David, might find his consolation at the Lord's table when trouble around him swelled. You know, when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane to his Father that this cup might pass from him, Jesus' whole concern, first and foremost, was what? That his Father's will would be done. You see, it's through very trial that he is drawing us to trust in his Son in full dependency. So what does God promise us today, my friends? When we come to him with this frame of mind, looking to him, glorifying him, worshiping him, adoring him, with thanksgiving, bringing specifically our requests to him, what does he promise you today? Change the circumstance? No. He promises you the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds. Circumstances may not be controlled by us, but God promises you here something much better and far better. He says that in looking to him, he will pour out upon you this peace, this calm, this tranquility, this calming perspective about the trial, about the circumstance that is attacking the heart and the mind, about the whole thing. That is the very peace of God that will guard your hearts and your minds. Paul is saying God does promise to do something for you. He promises that whenever the pain, whatever the pain, whatever the trial, God himself in the heart and mind, the very places that often control you so that you cannot even sleep and are constantly stirred up, he will guard you with his peace. He will guard you in the heart and the mind. You know, I have to say, oftentimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'm stirred up about something. I know many of you, probably there are times you don't even sleep at all during the night. Well, you know what came to my mind the other night as one of these circumstances, attack of circumstances came, a realization that even in my sleep, I'm fully dependent upon him and that I had to pray to him for this. Psalm 127:2 came to my mind. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. In other words, we could say it's vain to worry, for so he gives his beloved sleep. That's Psalm 127:2. You see, even our sleep is dependent upon him. And Paul pictures Christ, who is our peace, through his Spirit descending and guarding our hearts from the anxieties and pains that our tyrannizing circumstances often inflict upon us. God is promising you here that he will change your whole perspective of the problem, not the circumstance, but the perspective of the problem. He will calm your heart and allow you to see his sovereign hand working. Ask him, is anything too difficult for him? What peace we often forfeit is the song we often sing to him. Let me say that only comes today this peace through Christ Jesus, our Lord. You must believe in Jesus. Jesus said when he left this earth, "Peace I leave with you." It must be something in us. One of his continuing mediatory works for his people through intercession is to guard and keep you. If you're not in Christ today, you have no peace. You aimlessly walk through this life, groping and seeking but never finding, always trying to fix your problems with no perspective, no hope, no comfort. You must come to Jesus, believe in him, and know him as your peace in the gospel. Do you have your peace? I leave you with this today. I preached a sermon a few weeks back. A woman walked up to me through a very hard circumstances of life. I preached a sermon on Christian joy. Afterward, the woman came up to me in tears. She recently had lost her husband. She has 4 very young children. The doctors had all these things to sort of help me get through it, but I would not. I wanted to face it on my own. And she said an interesting thing. "I have a painful joy today in the Lord." What a choice of words. As I work through this text, a few weeks ago, I came to realize that the peace of God had surrounded her heart and her mind, even in the loss of her husband, so that she could go through this painful trial with the kind of life of peace and joy that Paul had presented to us in Philippians. Did that mean that it wouldn't be painful? No, it was very painful for her, extremely painful. And that's the whole point of Paul's passage. Not that God will change the circumstance, but he will surround the heart and the mind with his peace. That word for surround there is keep, as with a garrison does, with soldiers do around their commander. He will guard you. He will give you a whole fresh perspective of it, that the whole thing is designed for his glory. And as the manifestation of Christ is being revealed in your life, as he is conforming you more to Jesus Christ's very image. May then today, my friends, we realize what we have as Christians, if you're a Christian today in Christ, and may the joy and peace that he's poured out in our hearts and in our minds make us live for the glory of Christ, the advancement of his kingdom, as others see in us these very rare jewels, and begin to desire the kind of life that we've been given, which only comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord. What does the Bible say about Jesus Christ our Lord in Ephesians chapter 2? "For he himself is our peace." Do you know this peace today? Come to Jesus, and his peace will guard your hearts and your minds to his praise and glory. This Sunday, we're going to learn more about this Jesus who is our peace at the Linden United Reformed Church. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are our worship service times. You may give us a call if you need words of encouragement or like to talk about the messages. 360-318-0429. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.